And I start this talk this morning more somber note than usual. I want to remember those three little children who were killed earlier this week, senselessly, and their teachers and staff at the Covenant School in Nashville. We all know and share that that was a terrible, terrible tragedy. And it hits home for me, and I'm a part of that church's denomination. I know people that are close to that community. I have, probably like some of you, children at that age. And we all know teachers and staff, too, probably, who are in those types of situations, day in and day out. I saw some posts from Facebook and friends, you know, to learn a little bit more about the families who were impacted. And other posts that said, you know, "Jesus, come quickly. How long, O Lord," which is Psalm 40, if you know Psalm 40. "It's been a long time, Lord." And we know the end of the story, don't we? We know the end of the story, that justice has been done and will be done, that all things will be made right. We see in Revelation 21, it says this, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no cry, no pain. For the old order has passed away." And it goes on to say more about this new order that happens in chapter 22. "The angel showed me the river of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, the Lamb, and down the middle of the great street of the city. Now on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." The healing of the nations. We need that healing, men, don't we? We need that healing. The Nashville community needs that healing. This country, this world needs those healing leaves. And with the new Eden, the earth will be healed completely. And then today we're going to go back in time and talk about the old Eden. The old Eden. And you can open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to pop around a bit here, paraphrase at some points as well. It says at the beginning here, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." Mark talked about the previous days last week, didn't he? The previous days. He talked about God's plan, a good business plan, bringing order from chaos, bringing flourishing and peace. Each day of creation beginning with what? Morning. And ending with a night. And now, on the seventh day, God rests. Notice there's no night on the seventh day. Are we living in the seventh day of creation now? Things that make you go, right, okay. The Sabbath was a rest. Of course, we know that. We celebrate that on Sundays. Great topic for another day, because today we're talking about work. So enter the first human worker, Adam. Adam. We see in verse 15 this. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it." He put him in the garden to work and keep it. You could say work and watch over. Work and watch over. How many of you men are homeowners in here? Probably a lot of you. I was talking to a younger friend of mine who is looking to buy a house. And we're in a tough market now, aren't we? Yeah. Tough market. And I was thinking like, yeah, of course, having a house, that's great, you know, but it's a big responsibility. It's expensive. It's a lot of work, isn't it? I don't know about you men, but I feel like the world is against my house and me. And I live down by the old Turner Field down there. That's why it took me so long to get up here today. It's in the city. We got rats. We got crime. We got bugs. And if you live anywhere in Georgia, you got limbs that are falling on your house as well, too. Or violent, nasty weather that destroys my grass and bushes. I got children who make it a sport to ruin things, like drawing arrows with permanent markers on my carpet in the bedroom. True story, happened last week. And I got boys who like to miss the toilet a lot when they're 4 and 3. And all of this, for me, home is what? A place of shalom, of rest. You know, I want it to be nice. I want it to be cozy. I want it to be functional. I want it to be a blessing to others, hospitality, all of those types of things. And a big chunk of my week is spent watching, working, you know, keeping my house, because if I don't, what happens? It goes to hell pretty quickly, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Why do we put up with all this? You know, I know many men in this room are in real estate. You can think about it this way. You know, God is the owner, and we are the asset managers. We're like the property managers that you hire. God has created this amazing asset with limitless potential, ready to be unlocked. It's the world, and He creates a partner in man who not only manages it, but He actually multiplies it. He creates more value, brings more life, brings blessing that is to be shared with the public. That's good design, isn't it? Good design principle. And this all forces us, this reality, forces us into sort of a diagnostic question that's quite practical for us to ask when we're making decisions or sort of reflecting on the world. Is what am I doing going to lead to more life or decay? Is what am I going to do here? It could be even small things. It could be that email that you send or that deal or that person that you reach out to. Is it going to lead to more life or decay? Justice or injustice? Is there fruit in multiplication or decay, division, and subtraction? I saw on LinkedIn this week, I think Gene posted Micah 6:8. You know, it's connected to this here. At the end of this chapter, we see that man does not do all of this alone, right? It's not good for man to be alone. In verse 20, it says this, "The man gave all the names of the livestock and the birds and the heavens and every beast of the field, but Adam, there was not a helper found fit for him. So the Lord God took one of Adam's ribs," and I paraphrase, "and with that rib he made into woman and brought her to a man," or to the man. And what did Adam say? He was like, "Wow, this is way better than pigs and chickens." Woo! Isn't it awesome that God created women? Right? Yes. When I first met my wife, I was like, wow. And first off, we wouldn't be here without them, right? Secondly, wow. I mean, since the dawn of creation, if you think about it, on the minds of men have been two things, women and work. It goes back to Genesis 2. Women and work. What captivates a man's mind more than really those two things for the most time? And we know that can go bad and get toxic and nasty pretty quickly, and we'll learn about that in the following weeks. But a faithful man, he is to work and watch over his woman and his work. To be faithful in that, to tend to her garden and the creative garden that God has entrusted to him, this creation, and for us men, whatever the situation God has placed us in. What are we to do? We are to work and keep that so they are healthy, fit for multiplication, bring forth life, a blessing to others. One Christian author speaks on the roles of men in marriage. He tells men that they should treat their wives as Christ loved the church. We know that. You probably heard that many a times in a sermon or at a wedding. But he also says he will, listen to this, he will assume responsibility for her loveliness. How many times have we ever taken responsibility for our wife's loveliness? Usually that's your job, not my job. I'll criticize you when I feel like you ain't doing a good job at it, but I'm not going to participate in it or care for you in that way. That's a real challenge. He says this too. He will establish her in a place where she can attain greatness. He will rise up and call her blessed. Setting up your wife for greatness? Fruitfulness? Our job, men. We, like Adam, are not only to work and watch and keep our homes and our business, but we're actually to tend the garden that is our wives and assume the responsibility for her flourishing and be like, wow, you're blessed. I'm blessed. We're all blessed. Let's party. This is awesome, right? One final thing he says about the role of the husband. He says he will set the tone of his home through his patience, reverence, dignity, kindness, courtesy. It's not violent, toxic, nasty, or I think the most common sin of men, which is absent. Go back and remember the teaching of Jesus in the Beatitudes. He says what? Blessed are whom? Those who are peacemakers. Blessed are meek. We've said many times in here, meek is not weak. Meek is not weak. Men, our marriages, homes, businesses, whatever organization or place that God has put you in, they are to be like little Edens that we are to work and keep and watch over. We do this with oversight and instruction from the owner, from God and His Scripture. But not only does God give us the instructions, He gives us something better. He gives us His Spirit. And we only have because our salvation was purchased by Jesus and He sent His Spirit, a suitable helper for us to do the work to bring flourishing and life and blessing. There's a lot here in the garden, isn't there? I mean, it's amazing. Genesis 1 and 2, awesome. Well, what don't we see yet? What we don't see here, or even in our Revelation passage for that matter, violence, sin. We don't see violence. This garden, it's a safe workplace. Now, of course, as I mentioned, we'll learn what happens next, the rest of Genesis. Let me say, the workplace becomes toxic, it becomes deadly. I want to read you, in conclusion here, what a friend of mine sent to me and other our church leaders the other day after the school shootings. I think he nails it here. The violence is just endemic to our culture. We use language and rhetoric of violence in so much of our speech these days, even small things like she crushed it, he's killing it in the marketplace, that team dominated, they are our enemies. We do this in academics and politics and business and sports, and everything seems to be interpreted in terms of violence and domination. I think about the band The Police, a great 80s band. One of my favorite songs on their record, Ghost of the Machine, Rehumanize Yourself. Where he says, violence here is the social norm. You got to rehumanize yourself. Also thinking about Jesus telling us to turn the other cheek, right? To love our enemies and pray for our persecutors. Or 2 Timothy 3, a book we like to quote here a lot. Understand this, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. People will become lovers of self, money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, ungodly, heartless, unappeasable, etc., etc. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Men, let us not be such men. Let us be not such people. There's no violence in Eden, either the old one or the new one that is to come. And we should avoid participating in this culture of violence that we see just everywhere now these days. And we must be leaders in this. And I pray that God would search my heart and your heart and root out violence that's likely stifling the flourishing of our wives, homes, organizations, and businesses, our little Edens, are little gardens that we are to work and watch over. We pray that it replace it with a spirit of peace, healing, and restoration, for that is our duty to God and our brothers and sisters. Let me pray for us. Father God, Lord Jesus, as I search your scriptures in the New Testament, with the exception of maybe Peter cutting off the ear of the Roman soldier and you rebuking him, and of course what you suffered on the cross, you suffered violence. There's no violence done by those who are faithful followers of you. Father God, you took on the violence so that we don't have to perpetuate the violence, Lord, and that is the gospel. As we remember the covenant school, we also remember the new covenant and the blood that you shed, Father. And that those families and children, Lord, they're dancing and celebrating with you right now. So, Father God, we look forward to that and understand it is the now but not yet. And we say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Have a good time at your tables, men.